If you will, once again, this is Rightly Dividing Word of Truth, and we're excited that we're in lesson number 5, and we're moving right along. And last several weeks, we have looked at the prophecy program and the mystery program, and these are contrasted in the Word of God. Once again, my Bible does not have any contradictions. Does yours?
No,
they do not. So what do you say? They have contrast, just opposites. And as we will look at through some things about the prophetic program and the mystery program, think of what God laid out there. And we talk a lot about dispensationalism here at Canton Grace Fellowship. And that's something that God is dispensing. And He's dispensing from the time He started the world to the time He's going to end the world. And that's how, when you look at the Word of God, you have to look at it in a dispensational view. And that's why we rightly divide the Word of Truth. And this week, we're looking at the fact that God, through the prophetic program, He has redeemed Israel to rule and reign with Christ on the earth. Last week, we looked at the fact that Jesus Christ is the King of Israel. But He's going to redeem the nation Israel to rule and reign with Him on earth. If you will, go to Isaiah 62. Isaiah chapter 62. Isaiah 62. What book is this? A book, prophecy book, in what time period? Time past. And it's in time past. So when you look and read Genesis to Malachi, automatically you think a time pass, that God was dealing with the nation Israel on the distinction of circumcision and uncircumcision. And there was a middle wall between the circumcision and uncircumcision. In Isaiah 62, starting with verse 1. For Zion's sake will I not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest until the righteousness thereof go forth as brightness, and the salvation thereof as a lamp that burneth. Remember who's supposed to be the light of the world in times past?
Israel.
Okay? And the Gentiles shall see the righteousness and all the kings thy glory, and thou shalt be called by a new name, which is the mouth of the Lord shall name. That thou shalt be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem in the hand of thy God. Thou shalt no more be termed forsaken, neither shall thy land any more be deemed desolate. But thou shalt be called Hephzibah, and thy land Beulah. For the Lord delight in thee, and thy land shall be married. Before we go on in this, what do you think Hephzibah means?
Light of the world.
Delighted in thee. What do you think Beulah means? People would sing Beulah land, oh Beulah land. Beulah means married. One thing about the King James Bible, if you don't know the definition, if you read in it, it will tell you what it is. So this is what Israel is supposed to be and going to be redeemed. They're going to be married and they're going to be in the land. Okay? Go to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel chapter 37.
You said Israel is going to end up, so to speak, married in Christ.
Well, they're going to be married in the land. Israel.
The land.
In the land. Okay? Israel. Israel. Well, let's move on right quick. Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. What do you know about Ezekiel 37? We talked about a lot of times in times past. Talked about, have you remember that song, Them Bones, Them Bones? Ezekiel prophesied about them bones. The foot bones connected to the ankle bone. That's what this chapter's about, Ezekiel 37. And what, before we get to the passage that I'm looking at, Isaiah 37, verse 10 says, So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. And verse 11, and this he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Okay? That's who these bones are. A great exceeding army. A whole house of Israel. I want you to think about that just for a second, about why. Haven't you ever been told that you're coming back and fight with Abraham in ages to come and on a great white horse? Yes. Okay, you've been told that a lot of times. But you've got to understand that what God is doing with the prophetic program, He's dealing with the nation Israel for the earth. Okay? You're not coming back with Abraham. He's got you positioned in the heavenly places. And besides, He's got a great army. What would He need you? That's just some things for you to think about out there, you know, just as you're driving or thinking, you know, in your home studies and stuff. Think about the Word of God. Look at verse 21. Verse 21 talks about the sign of two sticks and all. And talks about verse 21. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whether they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Now, what did they say in 1948 happened? Okay? That's what they said it happened, but it has not. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king of them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two nations, into two kingdoms any more at all. Neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be what people? My people, and I will be what? Their God. Who's he talking about here? He's not talking about the Gentiles. He's talking about the nation Israel that was split into the two nations, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, okay? And he says, and verse 24, and David, my servant, shall be what?
King.
Wait a minute. Over them. Who's going to be king over them?
David.
Well, I thought Jesus Christ was going to be king over them.
He's going to be king over all.
Okay? All right? Think about this. And they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgment and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt, and they shall dwell therein, even they and their children and their children's children, how long? Forever. And my servant David shall be a what? Prince over them. For how long? Prince forever. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. Who's them?
Israel.
You know, I said a couple weeks ago about covenants. Who's a covenant people?
Israel
is. The body of Christ is not a covenant people. That upsets people. People build their doctrine on that. And it says, it shall be, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Who's them? Has that happened yet?
No.
So, is this a book of prophecy? What are they going to do? You're prophesying for something to happen, okay? And they shall be my people, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them, what? Forevermore. Okay? In times past, wasn't Israel supposed to have been that way? See, Israel's not that way. They've fallen. Okay, they had fallen politically and judicially, if you will, and spiritual back then even. But there's still some Israelites knew who God was and they were saved. I'm not saying that. But this is a prophecy talking about ages to come. Because it sure hasn't happened yet, has it?
You said that 1948 has anything to do with this particular passage.
Nothing.
God is going to bring them back.
Amen. That's the way I feel too, brother. Because he says, I will take them out of the land. I will cleanse them. I will sprinkle clean water on them. And I will cause them to walk in my statutes. They don't have a choice. I wish I didn't have a choice. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? Okay, I'm walking. But look, let me ask you something right quick before we move forward. What about that verse 24? And David, my servant, shall be a king over them. Hold your finger there and go to Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. 1 Chronicles, I'm just going to read a couple verses to you. And you can make your own. Okay. I'm just going to share this to back up what God just said right there, okay? That's all I'm going to do. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. 1 Chronicles 28. Verse 4. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 4. Howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me. If you know who he's talking about in that context, he's talking about David. Chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel for how long?
Forever.
Now, where's he at? Hold your finger there. Well, go back to Ezekiel chapter 34. Is David still alive?
No.
We know Jesus Christ is, right? Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me. Ezekiel 34. Ezekiel 34. Verse 22 says, therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up, how many shepherds? One shepherd over them, and they shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a preach among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. I just want to share that with you, that David gets resurrected over here too, and sits on the throne of David. And he's a king. Forever. We know the Lord Jesus Christ in the Millennium Kingdom, where's he sitting at? On the throne for 1,000 years. I just want to share that with you. I'm not going to lead you and drop you off, but yes, then again, I'm going to lead you and drop you off. Let's move on. Excuse me? Jesus sitting on the throne up here in heaven right now, on the right hand of God. But in a millennium kingdom over here is where it happens in the earth. But what I'm saying is, King David is the king, correct? And in the lineages, Jesus Christ is from that King David. But David gets resurrected to sit on his throne forever to be the judge and king over Israel. Where would Jesus Christ be?
In Jerusalem.
In Jerusalem, or where'd you say?
Heaven.
Heaven. He's above all principalities and powers and might. He's judging it all. Okay? He don't have to sit in Israel. Follow me? Isn't he over the heavens too? Okay, let's move on. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Now that was just something just to intrigue the Bible mind, you know, just to say, you know, because you know what you're going to get here? You're going to get meat. You know, you get milk on the foundations that you trust Christ died for your sins and buried and rose again. You get in the book of Romans. That's milk. But when you start to understand the Word of God and the knowledge of thereof, it starts to be meat. Because you can't live on milk alone, can you? You really can't. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Verse 4. Ye have seen what I did with unto the Egyptians, and how I bared you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye obey my voice indeed and keep my commandments, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above how many people? All people, for all the what? Universe? All the heaven? No, all the earth is mine. What did I say the focus was in prophecy? The earth. From Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, all the way over to Acts chapter 9, the focus is the earth, people. And they're to pray the heaven to come down to earth, and everything's right here on earth. Verse 6. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and holy nation. Now who is thee talking about here?
Israel.
Who's that? Speak up, I can't hear you.
Israel.
That's right. How many people have got there tells you that he's making you a kingdom of priests, a holy nation? These are the words which thou shall speak unto the children of
Israel.
There it is. There it is. Revelation chapter 5. Israel. For those that didn't hear that clear enough. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Now, where would this book be applying to in times past, but now where? Ages to come. Okay? Now, there's a threefold division and a twofold purpose, prophecy and mystery. Amen? Look at Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 says, and they sung a new song. They've been singing songs all through
time past.
Yeah, all through time past in the heavens. Because over in verse, where is it? Verse 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor, power, and thou hast created all things, and thy pleasure they are and were created. That's what they're singing. Worthy, worthy. Verse 9, and they sing a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, and thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. Verse 10, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Got that? He's dealing over here in ages to come. He's dealing with the earth. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. What do you think about this? Redeemed Israel to rule and reign with Christ and his son, and David, if you will, on this earth. Isaiah 45, verse 17 says, but, what's that next word? Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end. See that? In this prophecy program, God, something spoken since the world began, it's a world without end. And it's given to the nation Israel for salvation. Okay? With me? World without end. This world is not going to end in December, whatever, 2012. Okay? It's not. I believe that. Wholeheartedly. Yes. That's it. On the other end, au contraire, if you don't mind, in the mystery program, let's see what God says about the body of Christ to rule and reign with Christ in heavenlies. Okay? This is something different. This is something I hope when we go through these verses, you're going to see the fact that people's trying to make you a part of what God is doing with the nation Israel on earth. Okay? And they try to make you part of spiritual Israel, which there's no such thing as spiritual Israel. Quit spiritualizing these things. Get what God's doing in the Bible, grow up, and be a man about it. That's the way God treats you. I know I'm preaching to you. You know, I'm just should be teaching to you. But look, Ephesians chapter 2. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Today, in the but now, in the dispensation of grace, God is doing something totally different than He was in time past or what He's going to do in ages to come. So that's why it's very, very important to rightly divide the word of truth. This is why it's contrast of God's word. Okay? This is how you understand it. And it makes sense. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make in Himself a twain, one new man, so making peace. And He hath made, that He might reconcile both unto God in how many bodies?
One
body, by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof. Okay? It's very, very important to know that there's no... God's making peace with everybody, and it's one in Christ Jesus. Look at chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same bodies and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Now that's a whole different subject we're going to follow through down through the lessons. But what are they partakers of? Who? Jesus Christ. Okay? You're partakers, you've got inheritance, the body of Christ got inheritance in Jesus Christ. And God has given Him everything. Not just the earth through the nation Israel, but the heavens through the body of Christ. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in where? Heaven. For whence also we look for the Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, what your focus in the mystery program is where?
Heaven.
The heavenly. Even though you're down here on this earth, nasty now, okay, and living in this evil day, your focus and conversation should be where?
Heavenly places.
Yeah. Paul called it paradise. Imagine that. That's where our focus is. And when you think about that focus and think about the elements you're going through and job struggles and life struggles and every day just, you know, beating you up, life, your conversation's where? If I might share this right quick, my wife said, you know, we're getting older. She pulled out some pictures in the drawer we're cleaning out and she's seen some look 20, 25 years ago. And I've done come to realization 20, 25 years ago, I am getting older. And that's what I shared with her. I said, you know, at 32, I knew I was old. I'm serious. You know, I set my mindset that's where I'm at, and I'm going that way. But, you know, your wife looks at it a different way, don't the guys? You know, she's like, oh, I don't look the way. You know, that's why you look at your wife and your spouses and your friends and loved ones differently now. You can't look at them like it was 25, 30 years ago. They're not the same person. But in Christ Jesus you are, aren't you? And if everybody's got their mindset of one, of who in Christ Jesus your focus is, don't that make it go easier? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. verse 1 says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters?" Verse 3, "Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Where are you going to judge people, angels at? Here on earth? Are they seen or unseen?
Unseen.
You better believe that. Because there's people saying right now they've seen angels and stuff like that. And Paul, through Timothy, is very clear that you have not seen them. And most angels, and this is not pertaining to study, the pictures that you've seen and all that, they got blonde hair, blue eyes, and two wings.
Females.
And God has never sent a female angel on this earth. They always showed up as men. But Zechariah chapter 5 talks about a woman angel, a two-winged, and he calls it wickedness. So you figure that one out in your life studies and stuff like that. Believe me, I used to have angels in my house. And those verses convicted me. Me, not you guys, me. We don't have them no more. We don't have them no more. Zechariah chapter 5. Okay, Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. That goes along with long-haired Jesus's too, God, by the way. Okay? I'm sorry. What the pictures you see of Lord Jesus Christ, he's got sandy, reddish hair and blue eyes and pale skin. Come on, guys. Read Solomon chapter 5 to tell you exactly what Jesus Christ looks like. His skin was gold. His hair was black with locks in it. And his eyes was dark as a dove's. Okay? I had to take that picture down. I'm serious. My children are growing up in this message and say, "Look, why is this?" You're right. You know? You're right. Look at Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I know many people out there thinking about, I'm the most wackiest person on the radio right now. But hey, it's the truth. Just tune in for the truth if you're listening. Come here because it's the truth.
Amen.
Not that I've got the most beautiful face on the radio or TV or wherever you want. People shaking their head about that. I know, I'm with you. But look, Romans chapter 4. Verse 17, "As is written, I made thee a father of many nations before him." Where am I at? Romans chapter 4, 17. "Quickened the dead and called those things which will not as though they were." Got the wrong verse there. Apologize. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 11. "It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If he deny him, well, he shall also deny us. And if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Now, where are you going to reign with him at? Where is he at right now? Okay, what did you find out when the Lord Jesus Christ is on this earth? Who's reigning with him on the earth? Israel. Go to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And many of you have heard this and they don't say the whole verse, which I'm going to say the whole verse, but many people don't. And for starting in verse 16 down to 21, there's three prayer requests there from Paul. And this is not a prayer thing study, but in verse 20, it says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly of all that we asked or think." A lot of people puts a period there. "According to the power that worketh in us." How does the power of God work in you today? Through the Word of God. Not circumstances, not whatever. So whatever you think, He's going to give you abundance of what you have, that doctrine inside of you, so you know what to say and do and think. Verse 21, "And to Him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end." Amen. Even in a mystery program that you're a part of in the body of Christ is a world without end. Hey, my inner man's jumping right now. You may not be able to see it, but it is. That's exciting to me because in time past, all I've been hearing about is Israel, 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 and people felt sorry for them and people want to be a part of that program. And now he's telling you he's not dealing with the nation today, but he's dealing with what? A body, which we found out a couple lessons ago that Jesus is a head of a body. Okay? And then he's got a purpose for us in heaven. Until next time.